Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Here's what's going to happen. I am going to have to fix you, manage you to on a more personal scale, a more micro form of management. What is that called?
Microgerment.
Boom. Yes.
It's Mike Shope.
What is your name, sir?
I am Bill Buttlicker.
And the Bulldog.
Really? That's your real name?
How dare you? My family built this country, by the way.
It's Mike Shope.
The three words I would describe you as is aggressive,
yes.
Hostile, and definitely difficult.
And the Bulldog.
Well, I like the sound of your voice.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
5 o'clock on a Friday. It started.
Woo!
It started. It got us. We got a conversation led us to the 2011 Sabres regular season home finale where they had all the alumni, and then the Gerby goal, and then the Vanek overtime goal that we just watched. The crowd's unreal.
Rick,
it's just
sounds amazing. Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to relive, but it also makes me angry. You know, like, I don't know if I want to spend.
Yeah.
We're here on the air. I don't mean this in this way, but just.
Right.
It just kind of makes me too angry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your point about. You didn't say maybe. The feeling you had in the arena before that game with all the alumni and all the fans and playing for a playoff spot, and you're like. They have finally emerged from losing Briere and Drury. And I guess they hadn't.
No, I guess they hadn't. And I recognize they had won the division the prior season. So it's not like they were coming from, you know, they had kind of overcome the loss of Drury and Briere to win the division in 10-11, or no, 9-10. But still, it felt like they were, you know, they didn't have an owner at that time. Like, they needed the Pegula piece was a key piece. Like, solidifying the future. This guy is rolling in here like it's like George Steinbrenner owning the Yankees is how Pegula sounded when he got here. Like, that's never going to happen again. Drury and Briere, like, oh, you know, good players going to stay and all that sort of stuff. That was very much the vibe. And, yeah, I felt that very strongly. Like, there probably are not that many things that I remember specifically saying. Like, I know, I mean, we've been talking for 20 years. I mean, I've said a lot of stuff. I remember saying exactly that. Like, we're finally done. with Drury and Barrera. We're going to put that to bed, this franchise. And I might have been near tears saying it.
Yeah. Well, that would be right.
And, wow. I mean, in the moment, it felt, that's how it felt, you know. But, wow, in hindsight, freezing cold takes. It didn't really hang on there, did it? And now I'm just sitting here. I got a Doug Bodger trade page open on my browser. Like, this is where we end up. Start talking about the old days.
Yeah. That's it again. Like, I love nostalgia. I love trivia. All of this is both of those things. Like, it's all trivia. It's all nostalgia. It's all just, it can warm your heart, you know, if you will. Like, it can work for you. But it's hard, at least right now, for me to just sort of do that separately. And, you know, I don't want to make it into a whole big thing because they're playing tonight. They won the last game. They're having a season. It's not over yet. It's like, they're okay. I said yesterday, I don't think it's a playoff team. I mean, any team, the 9-10 team wasn't that amazing because they were not that good. Like, they... Miller had the one-off great save percentage year, won the Vezina Trophy, and they made it. Then they went right out against Miro, by the way, and the Bruins.
And the Bruins, right.
Like, so that's not a great memory. The next year was better because of that, because of the sale of the team and right. The promise that the days of the Sabres not being able to retain players are over. Okay. They weren't.
No.
What they haven't been able to do, and these things are partners, what they haven't been able to do is earn enough respect or credibility, win enough games to change that. How has it changed before? How did it change in 2005? They, you know, I think kind of lucked into the right group where you had talent coming up and you had the right kind of role player, veteran, Drury, Briere, those pieces. The goalie was good. The goalies both were good. And that worked, you know. And then the next year you had the best team in the season, you know, President's Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And that before that, they were in bankruptcy. And the Dom saga and his leaving. And, like, they were really not any different, any better in this area in 2005 than they are right now. Right? I mean,
yeah,
that, right. That team was almost moved.
That's right. Yeah, I messed up the timeline talking about ownership. Pegula took over from Golisano. Golisano pulled them out of bankruptcy, and they had ownership. They just needed different ownership. And Pegula coming in was like, you know, I'm going to spend and all this stuff. So it did impact how it felt sitting there that day when they posted the Flyers in that game. But yeah, it's just been... It's been a sinkhole of despair, really. So
despair.
I know that you said it. You just said it. They have a game tonight. So, and you know, I don't know. I don't want to come off as like really wildly optimistic about them making it, but I guess I'm more impressed than you are with how it's gone so far. You know, I feel like there's some promising signs, and I guess what I want to. What makes me feel optimistic about it is that the promising signs to me are things they've been bad at, and I hope that that's Lindy, and that will only grow from here, and that will become more habit and more second nature, and they'll do more of that sort of stuff here, you know, their own end and whatnot. You know, just being more buttoned up defensively can bear a lot of fruit. It's not exciting really to watch necessarily, but it can be very good in that sport because a lot of games, most games are not high flying, super fun to watch, you know, in that sport. I mean, you get them, you know, and there's more of them than there were 10 years ago, I would say now. But it's still, you got to grind out a lot of hockey games. And I feel like, you know, I want to hope that Lindy's impact is making some headway in that area. So
I just want one more really good forward. You tell me who you want it to be, and I'll just go with it.
Right.
I just want more one guy in the way that they say, like, if you add a good starting pitcher to your rotation, that everybody else is better because mm-hmm. their matchups are easier, if it even still works like that in baseball. But one more guy, like, you've got Thompson, you've got Paterka, you've got Tuck and his part. Like, you've got some juice there. And they may have progressed, I think, is at least safe. The bottom six is, I liked how you talked about this yesterday, just sort of random veterans and washed up former goal scorers and anybody who you just sort of throw them out there.
Miscast and, kids, yeah, right. Yeah.
And for years they got run over. So you had Eichel Reinhardt teams that just couldn't breathe. Like they just couldn't, they couldn't win. So if you find me that guy and somehow the Sabres turn into a franchise that would make an aggressive move for him, that now I'm interested because I think they have enough where that could make them not just cross your fingers and hope they can kind of squeeze out a playoff berth. That's that never should be your goal, really. I mean, that's maybe theirs. I just question. I don't think they have enough juice to do it.
What they're really missing right now, I mean, what's killing them, because I do say, I gave a long commentary on that third line yesterday. I think the fourth line is... it's appropriate what they've got there. I think their bottom six is good. The Cousins line with Quinn and Benson has just been nothing. And like Cousins, you're married to, and you're just going to have to put your head down and hope that that, you know, comes together at some point. Quinn, Paul will be on with us in 20 minutes or so. We got into this. He's like, I'm out of time with him. Like, what? Just that isn't working. He hasn't beaten a goalie all year yet. And, I mean, we're tonight's game 20. You know, that's a guy you're counting on for 30 goals who is just nothing. So I'm ready. Like, they get Thompson back, and it won't be tonight. We know now. So I don't know if, you know, tomorrow's a quick turnaround. Maybe this whole trip is just a washout for him. We'll see. But whenever he's healthy and there, and they've got that top – because that top line to me is, if not – elite, it's right knocking on the door. Like they won't win every night against the other best lines in the league, but they will win most nights. Like they are that good. So I've got something that can carry me. They're like a mule for me. Like they should be able to do a lot of heavy work for me. What I don't have right now is that second group. And you know, when Peterka first showed up with Cousins and even Quinn, but before that, I don't even remember who was over there before Quinn was. It was like, oh, I see, this is going to work now. But then, you know, Peterka graduated, Skinner went away, and so now Paterka's up there, deservedly so, and I'm just nowhere with that second line. I mean, that was a potent – I mean, Peterka wasn't scoring a ton, but he was driving play, and Cousins was scoring 30 goals, and it just looked all set up for you. And they got to solve that. That's where that guy you're talking about comes in. And if they don't make that move, and, you know, I'm sure everybody will be healthy before they get around to making that move. I don't think it's imminent or anything. I'm ready if everyone's there, put the bottom six back together, Thompson's back up top, and give me Kulik over there instead of Quinn. I just give that some time. You know, I don't need 20 games like Quinn has gotten here, but give it some time because they need right now, if they can't swing the trade you're describing, what they need is to get struck by lightning by a kid.
Right.
Who just shows up and like, oh, he can do it. And, you know, Kulik, I don't know what more he has to prove at the American League level. He has scored regularly there. His 5-on-5 play is playing his own zone. It's been talked about as though it's improved. He's done the work. It might just be time to just do that. And I don't want to abandon Quinn for permanently, but right now it just ain't working. So I'm here to try to win games. I mean, I appreciate wanting to develop guys, but you're supposed to be making the playoffs here at some point. He is hurting you. I mean, actively. That line is a drag. So go put someone else over there and see if I can get some offense out of that line.
Todd Simon, how about that? You want another name?
Todd Simon. Wow.
Todd Simon.
Yeah.
You know what his thing was? No. I don't know historically what this is, but I remember, so this is a player who was in and out, like Rochester, back and forth, kind of, in the year, it's 30 years ago now. Actually, this is 31, the season where they lost to the Devils. in 1994 in the playoffs, and his only NHL goal was in the playoffs. Like, he was, it was significant.
Mm-hmm.
What that was significant. I mean, obviously it's going to be rare, but he scored in that series and did not score a goal in the regular season. And he never played in the NHL again after that series.
Oh, he's like Moonlight Graham.
He's like the Moonlight Graham of the Sabres.
He's playoff Moonlight Graham.
He's Todd Simon. He scored on Jersey in the playoffs, but that was his only NHL goal.
Name for you. Thanks to a listener who points out that Bodger, I said at the end of the last segment, Bodger was the Ramsey trade, Mike Ramsey, and it was not. They played together for almost 5 years here. Bodger was traded to Buffalo in 88, along with Darren Shannon, not Daryl Shannon, for Barrasso. That's the Barrasso trade, is how Bodger gets here. Ramsey is traded straight up for Airy in 93, Bob Airy, who's now, has been long time, like Rob, radio caller analyst for the Penguins broadcast.
Oh, I think I messed up. A listener, it's
the Simon thing?
No, the year of the red jerseys, the whole where we started. I think I messed up. I might have misread this. I read the Sabre game notes, and I think I misread the year because it was from that. I'm pretty sure I did now. 2000. A listener just tweeted me a picture. Yeah, it's 20. It's two different games. Okay, Ryan Miller. His first NHL win was on this date 2 years after
the debut of the
red jersey. So we're just going to have to delete that and talk football.
Wow, this whole segment, this whole like 45 minutes.
It's all built on an error.
Wow.
Well, you know, they're both interesting things, like 2002. The fact that it's red jerseys was where we started, but the conversation about Miller being on that team with so many players... listen to me try to dig out. With so many players from 99, 2000, 01, those teams, is kind of surprising to think about, for at least for you and I it has been. But the red jerseys of 2 years before, which I knew.
Okay, but all the stuff about that 02 team had.
That's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right, but it's right. Not the red jerseys
right.
Debut. That's the only thing that isn't right about it. Sorry. But I knew that too earlier, because when I thought about it earlier, I'm like, I had just moved back here. That season, 2001, where they wore I remember them wearing the red jerseys. Mm-hmm. I had just moved back here, and like that was a significant thing for the Sabres to do. They'd already changed to black and red.
Right.
But that was a significant thing. It wasn't the Miller thing. So anyway, I'm glad somebody pointed that out to me, because I'm over here tweeting
if
it.
If you had heard about that at 7:30 tonight.
I'd come back.
It would have been terrible.
That would have been terrible.
That would have been terrible, yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Brock Purdy is out?
Brock Purdy's ruled out. A lot of guys. Bosa, too, for the Niners.
Is there any word? He's just ruled out for Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing about like how long range this shoulder problem could be for him. Okay. Because the Bills do play them next week, of course.
Brandon Allen will start. Well, Daniel Jones. Maybe Daniel. So Daniel Jones was released and gets waived. And I think to claim him means you're taking his contract.
Right.
And no one will do that.
Right. Next year's injury guarantees plus like $11 million for this year. So, yeah, he's going to go through waivers, clear waivers, and then free to sign somewhere, I assume.
Yes. And so how interesting an idea for a team is he? Rest of season at the minimum, you know, which, by the way, I read he gets his Giants money and that he would get whatever new money he makes in a contract.
Nice for him. I mean, I don't think it's that. Somebody will do it. I predict.
I do, too.
If
he wants to play, assuming he wants to play.
Yeah. I might even, I don't know, like. Does he make sense as a backup option for a contending team? Does he make sense as a backup option for the Bills? I mean, I don't think he's any good, but I also am pretty sure Mitch Trubisky is as bad, if not worse, so I don't know if I'm really doing anything there. You know, you're in the middle of a season, you're changing guys. Like, Trubisky's already been here for two different stints.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah, me too. I'd be stunned if they did it, but is that credible for any other contending team that maybe doesn't have Mitch Trubisky as their backup.
I don't know everybody's backups, but I want to say it should be.
Right. And is he, I don't know, I was seeing someone on Twitter speculating about, like, trying to find, if you're him, trying to find, what are you looking for? Well, you're looking for a coach who's not on the way out. Like, so who's looking for quarterbacks? Bad teams, probably, right? If you're looking to play anyway, bad teams are looking for quarterbacks. A lot of bad teams could have coaches that are in trouble. So maybe that's not the best idea in the world. And somebody suggested Tennessee. Like, that's a new coach. How married are they to Levis? You know, could that work? I don't know. Also, if you're him, you might want to put that aside and just go wherever you think you have a chance to play, period, and see if you can establish some kind of market for yourself for the offseason.
Well, there could be, I don't think it would be Tennessee, but I don't know. There could be bad teams that would think, let's see what he looks like here for the next five games or whatever it ends up being, like the Raiders or somebody.
Right.
Where it's Minshew. They went to O'Connell, who got hurt. They have Ritter. They seem like they think they're nowhere. I feel like they're acting like they're nowhere. So that's one where, all right, well, this guy's won a playoff game. He started in the league for a while. Let's see what he looks like. I could see a team like that doing it, or the good team backup. But, you know, the Bills are probably, and this is an assumption that I'm making, but the Bills are probably like most of those teams would be, where they would not want to disrupt anything.
Right.
Their backup knows the plays.
Right.
There's practice habits.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I would think that maybe he's more likely to land on a team where there's an injury. I mean, San Francisco thinks Purdy is going to miss, then he's probably an upgrade to the guys they have.
I think you, yes, I think that I don't think he's very good, but I would be stunned if he wouldn't be an upgrade over Brandon Allen.
I could see the Chiefs wanting to give him a couple starts, try to get their guy straightened out mentally, like the Colts did with Richardson, right. Since he's bad now.
Yeah.
The Jets would be awesome if they did it. That would be amazing.
A lot of people were making the Cowboy joke today. They play on Thanksgiving, and how great would that be?
Yeah.
Right, the Cowboys, they're at Cooper Rush here, Dax out. Go get Daniel Jones and just plop him on there and have him play the Giants on. It would be so great. I would have to watch that game then.
Which you already will.
No, that's dinner. Like that's like
won't be on.
Well, it'll be on, but I will not be sitting in front of it. I almost never sit with that game just because the timing of the meal is sort of right in.
Boy, the Giants at Dallas. What were they thinking? What were the New York? What were they thinking? That one or both of these teams would be good? I mean, Dallas was kind of supposed to be good.
Dallas should have been good, I guess. Right? It should have might be strong, but yeah.
Giants weren't.
No.
That's brutal. Now.
Yeah.
4 o'clock on Thanksgiving, Giants right. Dallas. That's pretty brutal.
Right. Tommy DeVito.
It's always Dallas
against Cooper Rush,
or at least Lance. Hopefully, maybe they go to Lance next week.
What kind of world are we living in here, where the Lions game at 12:30 is like, well, the Lions are a juggernaut, and the Cowboy game is just like I can't even look at it.
It could be a tough day if the Lions crush the Bears, because then it's pretty bleak. The night game is Miami at Green Bay. That's all right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That could be kind of a shocker, Thanksgiving. Doesn't look great on paper. Paul Hamilton next, Sabres and Ducks pregame at 9 tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and Sawinski. Why'd they do it?
We have the fight.
With Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
Paul just on a tirade that day. As you know, a Paul tirade, you'll feel it. You will feel it. Paul Hamilton, I don't know what that means. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline, the Sabres and Ducks tonight in Anaheim, 9 o'clock. Will the Ducks be in orange? Is that the deal now?
They will be in orange. And there's no such thing as an unnecessary hit. Like the commentator said there, you know.
Yeah, make that your bio.
You're sending a message, Paul. Sure. Right.
No such thing.
And yes, the Ducks will be in orange.
And you said you like that. Or did you both say that?
I like the orange helmets even. Yeah, I like the look of that. What I've seen there. Yeah.
It's
I don't know
good
that
shade
I
shade of orange. It's a and it's grown on me. In the beginning I'm like, you're kidding, right? And then it's grown on me. I think I can say I like it.
I think orange is my favorite color.
When will you know? All right, well.
Well, I got time.
Wow.
I'm only 59 years old. I still got
time. Could change. Oh. That's right.
It's not something I think about a lot, but it came to mind.
So, Paul, no Tage Thompson again tonight. Were you expecting that?
You just don't know. You don't know how he feels, especially since I'm not there, you know, talking to him myself. The way Lindy put it the last game a couple of nights ago, it's like, well, if he doesn't play Friday, he'll probably play Saturday. And don't forget, this is a night game going into an early evening or late afternoon game, however you want to approach it. It'll be 5 o'clock Pacific time when the game starts. So maybe, you know, if it was a question of one or the other, maybe they decided let's give him one more day and we'll play him in the second game. But I don't know if that's the question.
Right.
You know, I don't know how he's feeling with it. I do know after he had his first hard practice on Monday, he did say he could feel it. But the thing that he was encouraged by is before he talked to us, he took some treatment and it went well. And he said he felt pretty good after the treatment. So he was, you know, encouraged by that, you know, after he had worked out. But here we are on Friday, and he's still not ready for the game.
Right. It'll be 2 weeks on Monday, if I have it right, since he left that Montreal game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's missed three games. They're 2-1.
Yeah. I mean,
they're not scoring a lot of goals with him there, but they have found ways to win two out of the three games. So, you know, that's, you know, at least a good sign that they've been able to in a short term. I don't think he's the injury that they could handle long term. I just
right.
don't think they can keep up with the way he was scoring goals. They just don't have anybody else that could come in and do even half of what he was doing. So short term, yeah, you can figure it out. But, you know, long term, I think there are some guys you can't afford to lose, and I think he would be right on the top of the list, including Dahlin right now, the way he's playing.
Paul, yesterday we talked about the Sabres win in L.A. and just how, you know, sturdy they were, I guess, you know, defensively as the game was playing out, all the penalty kills. And later, Bulldog and I talked about that, I think, and it's like a Lindy effect. Like, do you think, I wouldn't want to give him all the credit, but would you attribute, if it's not also sort of an anomaly from what you're seeing this season, how they're playing to what this coach is trying to get through to them?
Absolutely. I called it a gutty game. They didn't. I don't think they minded. I don't think they were sitting at the end of two periods saying, oh, geez, I can't believe this is 0-0. In the past, I think they would have got a little edgy, and then they would have tried to do goofy stuff, mm-hmm. and then they would start turning the puck over. Here, I think they knew what they were in for with Los Angeles, and they got away with the second period killing basically four penalties. One started in the first period, but most of the penalty was in the second period. And they only had three shots in the second period, and they're sitting there going, you know what? After 40 minutes, it's 0-0. We're fine. We'll take that against this team. And let's just be steady. We've got a power play to open the third period. They scored on it, and that was the only goal of the game. And I thought, even at the end, we talked about this yesterday, where, you know, guys were stuck on the ice between 3.5 minutes and two and a half minutes. They still pretty much kept the Kings out of the middle. The Kings had two really good chances. They couldn't score on either one of them. And other than that, Buffalo, this is the Lindy Ruff effect. They kept the Kings out of the middle. That used to drive me insane, watching wide open guys in the middle all the time scoring goals against the Sabres. It's like, can you guys not see that there are guys standing in the slot by themselves? What is wrong with you guys? But, you know, they were in this one-on-one defensive, whatever they wanted to call it. And so Lindy Ruff, I think, has really improved that. Plus, you know, when those guys, they were desperate. There were four block shots in that sequence where they couldn't get the puck out, but they blocked four shots. They were desperate in what they did. That, too, was the Lindy Ruff effect, as is the type of goal that Zucker scored in front of the net, tipping the puck. He's not the only one standing there. There are other guys there, too. Benson, Greenway, Thompson when he's on the ice, Tuck, McLeod. There are a bunch of guys. Malenstein, that whole line. There are a bunch of guys now that are around the net. That also is different.
Yeah, we were talking already earlier today, Paul, about, you know, like, I don't think they're wildly different. You know, certainly their personnel, the bottom six is very different. So there's a different look to the team. But the thing that might have me feeling, you know, if I can get to an optimistic place about them, you know, as they're hovering here around 500, is that it's still pretty early in the season. Like, we're just about to the quarter mark here. And like that impact from Ruff, like the things that they're doing well, I feel like are things that he would have emphasized that they had not been real good at over the past few years. Just attention to detail, buttoned up in your own end, right? Not panicking. You're stuck on the ice for 3 minutes like you're describing at the end of this Kings game. And I feel like those little things, I feel like, can add up if they can do them more consistently. And I think there are some signs that they are. I mean, they're still not perfect. They certainly could use another score with Quinn just disappearing off the face of the earth and Cousins' continued struggles to produce points. But I feel like if some of that comes around, I don't know, man. I think they're different and better than they've been, I think, I feel like.
You brought up Quinn, and I agree with what you just said, by the way. But you brought up Quinn, and I wonder if he's playing tonight. I mean, you look at his ice time the last two games. It's as little ice time as he's had all year in two games. Again, he has not scored on a goaltender all year. They've got a guy sitting here who's in the former number one pick, who's only played seven NHL games. If I were the coach, Quinn would not be playing tonight. You're at the one quarter mark here. You can't wait any longer for him to play out of it. I just think you've given him plenty of time, plenty of chances. You got the kid here. Let's find out what he can do. Whether Lindy does that, I don't know. But he only played like 10 minutes the other day. His ice time just keeps going down and down. So I just kind of wonder if maybe he might be scratched. That's the only thing I'm thinking. There's no indication other than me thinking that and going by his ice time of that might happen. But I just don't see any point in keeping him in the lineup
anymore,
letting him try to play out of something.
They've got Roseanne is here, right? If they need to plug him in so they can do that. I was saying earlier, Paul, we were talking about Quinn as well, because we talked about him earlier this week too, like you're alluding to. I'm ready once they're all back, whenever Thompson gets back and they've got their full complement of guys, providing something else doesn't happen or whatever, but they got their healthy lineup. I'm ready to try Kulik over there with Cousins and Benson or something, just because Quinn, I just think he's out of runway here.
Yeah, and maybe this center thing will work out. I think he'll get another chance to play center in this game, and maybe because that's his natural position. That's where he's most comfortable. Even in Rochester, he started off on wing, did well. But once he got to center, he did better. And so he's had a game now, and he'll get another game, I believe, playing at center. And he might just get more comfortable at it. Who knows? I mean, he just might wind up staying there if he really looks good in the center position. We'll have to wait and see with that. And this all, too, depends on Lukanen. And Lukanen is, you look at him, he's won four in a row. He's won seven out of his last nine starts. And as I said, if you take out the Montreal game where he shouldn't have played because he was injured before the game even started and only played two periods, he's stopped 130 of his last 136 shots. I mean, he has just been dead on. And you're not going to win five out of seven games if you're not getting goaltending. I mean, and people say, well, when are the Sabres going on a run? Well, guess what? They're on a run. They're 5-2. That's a run. And they picked up 10 of their last 14 points. And that's the only reason they're in a spot now that if they win tonight's game, they're back in a playoff spot. Otherwise, they'd be sitting around last place, hanging around with the Montreal Canadiens if they were 2-5, and doing the same thing we talk about at Thanksgiving every year. Well, they're 6 to 8 points out, but they got to leapfrog six teams to get over. And Brayton looked it up while we were on the air earlier, and 77% of the teams since 2005 and 2006, 77% of the teams that are in playoff spots at Thanksgiving make the playoffs. It matters.
No doubt. Sounds like Lukanen tonight, and then you'd give him, as you've been talking this week anyway, some chance at also playing tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know for sure if Lukanen's playing tonight, but I would guess he would. They had the day off in between. That's how I would do it. I would have it like, let's see, if he has a fairly easy game and only faces 20 shots, I think I'd run him out there against San Jose too. He got some rest without playing those games. And, if he faces 35 shots or something like that, well, no. Then I probably don't run him out, especially if it's a night game going into an early evening or late afternoon game, whichever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But if it's a 20-shot game and it's a fairly easy game, I think I would run him out there again.
Yeah, I disagree there. I think the 3 hours is a big deal. And not to mention, they got to travel back, and then they go Wednesday, Friday, Saturday when they get back. So it's not like they got like a lot of time off here or something, right? I mean, they're gonna be
Saturday
pretty busy.
To Wednesday.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
That is kind of part of my thinking too.
Yeah.
Is you got Saturday to Wednesday for time off, and what you're saying is true, and you being a father of a goaltender, I've never been the father of a goaltender. you might have a little bit better idea what that grind would be like on a goaltender than I would. As Lindy says, he goes, I don't sit here and try to coach the goaltenders or tell you much about them. He goes, I go to Mike Bales.
Right.
And I'm not going to sit here, as I said, I think you know a little bit about more about goaltending than I do.
Oh, I mean, I appreciate that, but it doesn't really inform any of this. I'm just taking my cues from the way the league has been doing it for many, many years now, and back-to-backs rarely happen anymore at all, let alone with not even 24 hours between, like, the face-offs. So it would really surprise me. Plus, they're going to have to, with what I just mentioned, right, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, they're going to have to find out if Reimer can do it or not anyways. So
yeah, and I told you that's what I would do. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what Mike Bales would do.
Right. Yeah, gotcha.
Paul, thank you. Hope you got your rest.
I did, you know, but it's time to watch more hockey today and tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, busy week, Paul. We've enjoyed having you on so many times. So.
Yes, I've enjoyed being on.
All right, have a good night tonight with Brian. Paul's appearance with us here on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Picks at 6. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. Football Friday on WGR. Caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls at KeyBank Center Saturday, August 9th of next year, courtesy of New Day Live. Tickets went on sale this morning at Ticketmaster.com. One more Sabres note that we didn't bring up when Paul was on. He's been out, Jordan Greenway, on IR, right? Mm-hmm. Middle body. Another new low has been achieved. Can you appreciate how ridiculous that is? All right, hockey. So lower body. I don't know if it's your ankle, your knee, your shin, your foot.
Groin. Even
we have middle body.
I see. That's why I'm confused now.
At least as dumb as I think the whole premise is, I mean, hockey's going to tell you that they could target us, whatever. Mm-hmm, that's why they do it. But lower body, you don't know necessarily what is bothering me. Upper body, shoulder, elbow, hand, maybe neck, chest. Again,
stomach ache.
Middle body, you don't know. Upper body, you don't know. Same thing. You don't exactly know where you want to get me, where exactly to get me. Middle body, I guess that's the middle. I really don't think you're hiding much by saying middle body. It's the middle. So what am I even, if you accept in the first place the idea that.
It's the first I've ever heard of this middle body, which is why I'm so hung up on, like, for me, the waist was the demarcation line. So lower body, groin, hip, right on down, thigh. Okay, I think we know how the body works, how the parts are aligned. Anyway, so I'll stop. And then anything from the waist up, that's why I said stomach, upper, could be that. I don't know, but now mid is in there. So if it is termed upper, then I have to assume it's what, chest and up? I don't know.
Does it even have to be true?
Of course not.
So, but middle body, I'm trying to get you, I'm going to, if you accept that premise, I'm going to get the middle. Right. You know, I guess I don't know which side.
Right.
You got me there. But middle body, so, yeah, your point too. Is it thirds now? It's thirds.
I sure hope Thompson does get there at some point this week. I mean, I don't want them to rush him, but I'm starting, just yesterday or 2 days ago, I mentioned Austin Matthews. He was in Munich getting treatment, right? Second opinion. He's been day-to-day for 3 weeks. They're winning like crazy. They've passed Florida. They're in first place, Toronto.
What do you know?
So they're winning like crazy without him. I don't know how many games they're 7-2-1 their last 10. Most of that is without him. But that was day to day, and it's now we're into, like, it's really long. It's been long. And this thing's what I mentioned with Paul. It'd be 2 weeks on Monday that Thompson left that Montreal game, and it right away sounded like it wouldn't be that long. And, all this week, we're like, well, we'll see. And I felt like earlier in the week, if he didn't play Wednesday, he'd play Friday. I think when they left for the trip, I thought that was what Lindy said. And here we are now. He's not playing Friday. Well, hopefully Saturday. I mean, I don't know.
300th game for Dylan Cousins tonight, by the way. So that added up quickly. picks after the update. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at New Balance.com.